acceptable as specification. We are trying as a country, but it doesn't reflect well if the whole parliament cannot get its act together. Having said that, let us then start with our annual report presentation. But it is a presentation on one side, but on our side, it is oversight. And our oversight is based on the estimates of national expenditure, that is the ENE, and then the tourism group strategy document, amongst other tools of oversight. According to the estimates of national expenditure, South African Tourism provides financial assistance to the institution, to the department, so that it finances the marketing of South Africa as a preferred tourist destination, both locally and internationally. The entity is also responsible for assuring quality of products and services and facilitating transformation of the sector through the implementation of BEE. The objectives of the institution should provide a useful tool as a dashboard in the piloting of our outcomes this parliament is looking for. These are, according to the ENE, that is the estimates of national expenditure, promotion of South Africa as a destination of choice and visage to reach 11.9 by 2011. Ensuring the highest attainable quality standards of tourist facilities and services. Transformation. Increase in tourist spend. Increase in the number of accommodation establishments from 5484 in 2007-2008 to 8332 in 2011-2012. These are in the ENE, that is the expenditure estimate of national expenditure. Coming to the tourist growth strategy of 2008 to 2010, these are the objectives. That is an increase in tourist volume, an improvement in tourism spread. Apparently, there is a skewed spread in tourism in favor of Gauteng, Cape Town, KwaZulu-Natal and Mpumalanga to an extent. What are we doing to attain an even distribution? Improve seasonality patterns. There are graphs that are there in the documents, profiling different places from where tourists come. And they are how they visit our country, the length of stay, promotion of transformation and competitiveness. This is according to the growth strategy 2008-2010. Targets are specified there. We would like to see the actuals from SA Tourism, and then if perhaps we do not meet the targeted goals, then perhaps get explanations as to where the problem lies. And then the annual report. In this, the executive letter of the CEO should set the tone of events and program for the attainment of these objectives, among others. We expect to see aspects of the ENE, that is the estimate of national expenditure, which is the budget. Let's talk to the tourism growth strategy to inform the implementation of the program. This is not very apparent in the executive letter, and issues of transformation are absent in the executive letter of the CEO. Could the accounting officer please assist us in comparing the targets and the actual outputs and their contribution to outcomes by inter alia explaining on page 40 of the annual report, that is where we have performance in tabular form, and talk to the report in page, that is by talking to the report in page 40 of the annual report, and then explain the human resources issues in page 114 to 115. 3, for TEXA to give us a comparison of targets and achievements by expanding on what is in page 122, among others. And we would also commend the department on its financial statements for getting for receiving a clean report, though there are minor issues that have been raised by the Auditor General. I think it is a job well done. We also would like to get an explanation on the CEO's earnings in page 143, especially to the differences in amounts that are reflected there. These are among the issues that perhaps we would expect the annual report as explained by you to reflect. With those few words, I would like to hand over to you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Thank you for inviting us back. I think you've met most of the members of the Executive, but what I'd like to do is to introduce you today to the Chair of our Board, Mr. Jabu Mabuza, who is with us, and our Chief Financial Officer at the end, Johan van der Walt. But I think most of the members have met Rasheen, who's our Chief Marketing Officer, Tembi, who runs the Grading Council, and Beulah, who runs TEXA. Thank you for providing us with this opportunity. What we have done is we've put together a presentation which is quite lengthy, but what we thought we would do is just show you some of the highlights and then come back and start dealing with the specific questions that the committee has, if that is acceptable to you, Chair.
It is acceptable, but bear in mind that we have areas of
specific
focus
areas.
And which are guided by the ENE and the tourist growth strategy, amongst others.
Sure.
Thank you.
This is the overview of the presentation. We're not going to show you what the vision, mission, and values, as well as the mandate. These are this is information that we have presented to this committee before. In terms of, you know, what our organisational structure is. In terms of the fact that we operate in four regions, and we have 10 overseas offices, and we have 17 business units. We've also explained how we market in terms of our strategy of the portfolio review, that we have core investment and tactical markets. In terms of Part B, which starts on slide 11, this gives you an overview of some of the achievements that South African tourism has had over the past year in terms of some of the awards we've had. Slide 15 is what the Chair has already referred to, is that we've had our 8th consecutive unqualified audit. Slides 16 and 17 give you the overview of our financial position in terms of the fact that our expenditure increased by 15%. There was a total increase of 13% of funding over the period, and also the other revenue increased by 11% also within the financial year. And then there is a whole lot in terms of what our current assets are, etc. In terms of our high-level objectives, South African tourism in this business plan has got four high-level objectives, which is these are in terms of our business strategy of what we are measured by in terms of what the outcomes are. The first one is to achieve arrivals targets. In 2008, our target was roughly 9.7 million, which was 6.2% increase over 2007. We achieved 9.6%, which was a 5.5% increase over 2007. What affected us in terms of not achieving this target was we felt the impact of the global financial crisis from about July, August in 2008, and we saw a very, very sharp fall-off of international arrivals from particularly the Northern Hemisphere. The decreases were very significant out of Europe and North America and most of the Asian markets. We held largely outside of Africa, as the next slide will show you in terms of how we performed. In terms of where we are in 2009. 2009 has also been a difficult year for us. We are very fortunate, as opposed to a lot of other destinations, this is slide 21, that we are still holding just under a 2% arrivals increase, which is largely carried by our land markets. Even the air markets have slowed down. Our next objective is to achieve the spend targets. For 2008, our target was 7,300, a total of 70.8 billion. We exceeded the target because we got the average spend of 8,100, which was a total revenue of 83.4 billion. And the next slide will give you what it looks like in the first quarter of 2009, which is also a significant increase. So while the numbers are going down, we are still actually increasing the revenue that we are getting. Part of this, which the next slide will show you, is driven by the exchange rates and the problems that we've had in terms of the devaluation of the rand against the dollar. Our third high-level objective is to become the most preferred tourism brand by 2014. We measure this in terms of what we call global targets. We are looking for an awareness of 77% about South Africa. Currently, we are sitting at 78%, so we have exceeded the targets. Positivity, we are looking for 40%. At the moment, we're sitting at 38%. And this is where the problem is for us, is in the seeking information and likely to visit in the next 18 months. This is where the impact of the financial crisis has hit us, because people are not traveling as much as they used to, so there isn't as much of seeking information or planning to travel. But this is something that we are addressing in our plans in terms of making sure that we meet our targets. The next slide of slightly more detail, which I won't go into, which is about the knowledge of the brand and the brand journey metrics. These are very important for us when we set up our marketing plans, so that we understand what the marketing challenges in every market. The last objective is to be the best tourism organization by 2010. On slides 12 to 14, which I went through earlier, will show you some of the achievements that we've had. At Indaba this year, we were voted as the best national tourism organization in Africa, which is a great accolade for us. So that gives you where we are against our four high-level objectives in our business plan. Section D, which starts on slide 29, I'm not going to go through. This is an internal work that we've done in South African tourism so that we can measure the success of our marketing plans and our marketing work, because what we want to make sure is that we get a very good and very high return on investment. So we want to know that if we spend X amount on an advert, how many people will see it, and so that we make sure that we're getting value for money. So I'm going to skip that, if that's all right, and go on to slide 34, which is our methodology for selecting markets. When we were last at the portfolio committee, we explained this in quite a lot of detail. The next slide shows how we do it. It's largely a process of looking at all the markets of the world through data and making decisions about where are the best places for us to invest until we come to understanding which markets we should be in the region in terms of our core tactical investment in watchlist markets. The next slide is the draft of the fourth portfolio review process that we have been working through in the organization. This will be going to our board, but at the moment we're in a process of consultation. We show this to a lot of the other government departments. We show it to South African Airways so that we can make sure that we build some consensus in terms of going forward before it goes to our board. In terms of what we are looking for about where we're going to invest from 2011 to 2013, Angola now becomes a core market for us. The opening of the air frequencies into Angola has made Angola easier for us to market in. Before, we couldn't market in, it was very difficult to market in Angola because no one could get a flight out. So Angola has joined Botswana, Kenya, Nigeria, and of course South Africa. Nigeria and Kenya are the core of our marketing in East and West Africa. In terms of the Americas and the United States, it remains the USA and the UK, and Asia, Australasia, and Europe remain the same. In terms of our investment markets, the DRC becomes more attractive and becomes an investment market with Mozambique. Brazil and Canada for the Americas, China and Japan remain in Asia, Australasia, and Italy and Sweden are our investment markets. The rest are tactical and watchlist markets, which are typically markets where we don't have offices and we just run campaigns through foreign affairs or some tour operators in the market. The others cover the markets that are in our of strategic importance to us. In terms of the executive summary of our five-year strategic plan, I'm not going to go through a lot of this because I think we should rather maybe focus on the specific questions of the chair, that the chair has asked in terms of going forward. In terms of maybe the slide that we should refer to on slide 42 and 43, if these give you an idea of what we are doing in our marketing budgets for 2010-11. 2010-11, a lot of our investments are going to shift because this will be post-2010. So a lot of the investments that we've done around 2010 markets are going to move. The feeling of the executive of South African Tourism is that we need to hold our investments in Europe and North America. The financial crisis has still affected those countries quite badly, so and the exchange rate is quite favourable for us at the moment. We would prefer to put a lot more money in the next financial year into Africa, particularly into the work to opening Angola, the DRC, and doing further work East-West Africa and within the region and within the domestic market. And the other place where we are increasing our investment is in India and China. We believe that we must grow our investments there because those are markets of the future and we need to grow going forward. I won't talk about the stakeholders. From the section G is very, very detailed around the actions and measures against the strategy, which I won't go through as well. That's mainly for the committee's reference. I also won't go through the governance section, because that will just explain to you in terms of how we operate. Perhaps the most significant slide is 66, because it shows in terms of how it comes together. And this is really is the reason why we have been successful in getting clean audits. Has largely been in terms of making sure that the governance framework is implemented. There are slides that take you through how we do our business planning, which are for your own reference. Perhaps if we get to slide 77, this will give you what the results for the Tourism Grading Council. The first slide gives you the establishment summary, that there are 7,700 establishments that are graded, which at the end of September means 108,000 rooms around South Africa. I'll skip through the rest, and if we get to slide 87, which on page... these aren't numbered, unfortunately. We'll give you the state of confirmation in terms of the aggregates. 52% of accommodation, 53.5% of hospitality, and 57% of travel. At the end is listed some of the major equity deals, which I think is one of the issues that the Chair has raised. That, Chair, is a very, very high-level summary of what South African tourism has been doing. There's a lot more detail in our annual report in terms of the detail going forward. Could you give us some guidance on how you would like us to answer the questions, in which order?
Thank you very much. I think it is up to the members really, but I just tried to highlight the areas of the reasons that you put forward when you requested the budget in the estimate of national expenditure, and that is, I assume, your mandate. And then when you operationalize your mandate, you have objectives which are in the tourist growth strategy, and which then sets the targets, the actual that you have been mentioning. So that is our team from our side in oversight. So really, we do not prioritize anything. We have not classified it into sections, but we are going to look into the list and then perhaps ask questions according to lists, to different lists. Members normally, when they prepare for oversight, they have their own list, and then the others will find prioritize governance, others prioritize equity, others prioritize the spread. We are from all distinct provinces, but tourism is mainly concentrated in the Western Cape, in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal to an extent, and Mpumalanga to an extent. Not saying that it is not there in other provinces, it is there, but what are we doing to even out the spread? It will never be equal, but on the other hand, we've got to be showing that we are trying hard to make it equal, that type of approach. These are the things that we are going to engage you when we start questions, but essentially around issues of oversight. But I'm not going to direct members where to ask and how to ask. It is up to them. I was just flagging the areas as per the documentation. It was not according to preference, but it was according to documented objectives. Thank you very much. It's up to honorable members now to ask questions.
Mama, Pamukwan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members of SA Tourism, we appreciate your presence here, and I'm most profoundly grateful that you have come.
come again to be with us. My apologies for late arrival. We have just come back from a very hectic tour, and some of the things that have been addressed in your books, although I haven't had time to actually go through the whole package, are quite of concern. I just want, as a starter, to flag just something which I think not just SA Tourism, but most departments seem to forget. We are in government today because of the majority of votes that come from rural areas. And yet, when we table our successes, we are too happy to go to Japan, we are too happy to go to Canada, even to Iceland and the South Pole and the North Pole. But I do not see any attempt to focus on those people who have given us the most votes. Those are the people who are most disadvantaged, and yet those are the people we seem to make voting count out of and not get anything out of the successes that we seem to be so proud of, which we are proud of. I would really like to see what exactly has been done. I'm aware that this report only comes in, only ends the end of the year, of the financial year, which is end of March. But I see that there are some projections or expectations from 2011 onwards. But I do not see exactly what is done to address the rural satisfactions or the rural expectations. Here you say, you know, one of the examples that which was glaring during the oversight was the differences between, in the hospitality industry, between the white-operated or urban-operated facilities and the country-operated facilities. Country in the sense of geographical positioning, and the glaring difference was obviously lack of supervision, lack of direction, and the lack of know-how. The hunger to get into the mainstream, into the industry is there. But one, those people lack resources. Two, those people lack financial and management skills. Those people lack quite a lot. Hence, you see the discrepancies and the variances. So, for me, I would like that, as of now, we focus towards the improvement of the rural facilities, because those people need a lot of things done. Secondly, I am aware that for tourism to succeed, it is a joint effort by a number of departments. It's a coordinated, it's got to be a coordinated effort. You've got to talk transport. You've got to talk DTI. You've got to talk water and all these. You've got to traverse through all the departments in order for tourism to succeed. But in these other areas, the infrastructure is already developed. It is already in existence. But in rural areas, you need to go to the municipalities to make sure that the roads are there. You need to go to the rural areas, to the municipalities, and so on and so on. So it is a coordinated effort. I am aware of that. But what exactly is being done to coordinate all these spheres of government, or through the provinces, the provincial tourism departments, the municipal tourism departments, to make sure that we have got an entity at the end that addresses the involvement and the improvement of the rural community. I'm sorry I'm a bit long-winded, but that is what I'm trying to... I needed to put that background around my question. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, there are a lot of relevant issues that have been said, but there should be a difference between the department and the SAA tourism. The SAA tourism is there for the promotion and marketing of South African tourism. And then as a preferred tourist destination, both locally and internationally. The entity is also responsible for assuring quality of products and services and facilitating transformation of the sector through the implementation of BEE. So although there should be transformation, I think there should be a difference between what the department should do and what the SA tourism should do. So in the approach, SA tourism should respond to what exactly it is expected to do. And then the ones for the department, we are still going to have the Department of Tourism for a similar meeting. That's all. Hello, Mama.
I do understand the differences, but we have SA Tourism, which is a department on its own. It has got to collaborate with the Department of Tourism. But by the same token, if this department needs success, it needs to permeate through the department for it to realize its objectives. So I am aware of the differences and the compartmentalization of all these sections. But if we are talking SA tourism here, they cannot talk of SA tourism as a success without having to think about all these other, departments. Like they've got to think of, safety and security. They've got to think of, tax. They need to think of transformation, for instance, safety, product and SMME development. SMME development comes from the rural or the small operator, be it rural or urban. But those are the entities that SA Tourism has got to address.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Honorable
Thank you, Chair. There's just a couple of things. First of all, I'm totally confused what this equity deal thing is. I've never seen that before. I've got no idea what it is. And I can't find it in any of our papers, so I'd appreciate some sort of clarity on what it is. Another thing, I'm now referring to the annual report, which is what we were given for homework. I'm wanting some explanation on the acquisition of this entity called Meetings Africa, which is obviously is a very successful one in attracting business tourism to the country. I just need to know why we needed to buy it and who actually now operates it. In one part of the annual report, it talks to a partnership deal, and in somewhere else it talks to the acquisition of. So are we in partnership? Who's actually running the thing? And then I'd also like, from the annual report, there's much made of the excellent standards of corporate governance, and in particular we talk about succession planning, if the succession planning is so good, how come 6 months after he left the office, there is no CEO of the organization? I'd like that answer, please, because I think it's now getting critical. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a person. I'm not sure, perhaps I'm the only one who's just seen this document for the first time. Obviously, there's a lot of information here, but unfortunately, you know, when it comes hurriedly like this, we have not had time to look through it so that we can be able to make a more, you know, viable input. Is a disadvantage. I thought perhaps it was because we had been out on a tour, and then very suddenly we have this meeting. For me, it's a very big disadvantage, I must say. But anyway, thank you for the information. But I think we will find time to peruse through it after he has gone, unfortunately. So I do hope that in future, you know, we can receive the document, particularly if they're going to be detailed like this in time. But I'm looking at, let me first say, I'm happy that you are saying in future, maybe in the next financial year, you are also going to put in more of your efforts on marketing South Africa in Africa. I know last time we raised this question, and we always felt that we are somewhere else in the world, but we don't seem to be promoting Africa. But at the same time, I know, Chairperson, you know, sometimes you think there are contradictions in a way, in the sense that the government is interested in getting tourism to contribute as much as is possible to the GDP. And targeting countries in Europe becomes much easier. People are used to traveling and they want to see a country that is in Africa. So perhaps it doesn't become that very difficult. Traveling is probably, you know, at a particular level, people wanting to see what else is happening in other parts of the world. We want that. I don't think that we should discourage it. We want it because we want this revenue from tourism in South Africa. And if revenue is going to come much easier from countries in Europe, countries maybe in the East, so be it. But at the same time, as I say, it's a contradiction in the sense that we do get concerned about, let's say, for instance, us not being so visible in promoting tourism of countries in Africa. And also, I think, as I mentioned last time in one of my inputs, even domestic tourism. We know it may not be so easy, particularly at the beginning, and maybe perhaps not even so productive in terms of contributing, you know, to the revenue. But at the same time, we know that elsewhere we are trying hard as South Africa to work in conjunction with other countries that are not so particularly that well developed. So that's why I'm saying, for me, I do appreciate, and I hope it will happen, the fact that even if, for instance, we will not be getting as much revenue from Africa as we are getting from other countries so far, we will still try and promote tourism among the countries in Africa. But then my question would have been, what are the real challenges if you are going to start promoting South Africa as the best destination for Africa? What challenges do you think you will face? And the same question for me will go for the provinces here at home. I think we have indicated that we do see as a department that we are very well, on the whole, we are moving forward. If we judge, for instance, by the results of what is happening in the area, we are moving forward in terms of the national level, but we are not quite happy of what is happening at the provincial, and I think we're still at the local level. So even there, maybe we are not being fair to you by just being so critical, you know, of those areas. You probably know what challenges you are facing at that level. So is it possible for you, for instance, to inform us? What are the real challenges, for instance, in developing tourism, say, at the provincial level and at the local level? I see here a chairperson, a few slides that they don't seem to be marked, but I see slides that are talking about decline in growth. One of the slides, decline in growth per province, and one, decline in growth on accommodation and so on and so forth. Can we also get an idea? Say, for instance, you could take accommodation and give me an idea as to why the decline. What are the causes of this decline? Why in accommodation, for example, I don't understand how you can talk about decline. What do you really mean? Yes. Because if, for instance, there was so much accommodation in 2008, what makes accommodation decline in 2009? Yeah, can you just explain that to me? Thank you, Joseph.
Mamaka.
Thank you, Chairperson. Adding to what Manjobe is saying, In the last week, where we visited the port of entry to South Africa, in all the ports of entry that we're in, there was nothing of tourism. You know, we feel that there nothing was there. How can we assist South Africans at least to have something in our ports of entry? When you cross the borders, you see that, yeah, tourism is there in that other side. But in our ports of entry, South Africa, there is nothing. You cannot even see people that are selling beads. Even anything. It's so dull. And we are looking at 2010. You want people to come to South Africa and see the production that we are having as South Africans. There is a lot that can be done by South Africans, but also it needs a development. Really, how can we develop our people so that they can see those ports of entry and income for themselves? Because really, if we were there working as tourists, now we are in this port of entry. We don't have anything to buy. If there was something that you could buy, at least we should have left some sense in those areas, because we wanted to buy some things so that when we arrive at home, we say, we are from this area, and South Africa is producing this. So that vibe, I think it's very important if we want to develop the tourism in South Africa. We have the resource that is our people that are unemployed, that doesn't have nothing. If they can be developed, then they will have earning, and then they will be having a resource that will be reliable. Thank you.
Sikumbo.
Thank you. Just a plea, really, and a more substantive question. I haven't yet had a chance to go through this annual report, Thank you, Chair. We were away the whole of last week, as you know, visiting the ports of entry with the Department of Home Affairs. And on Friday we finished. We then went to our constituencies. Monday was a constituency day, which I spent doing that. Now, I actually did fly back last night because I had a 7:30 meeting this morning. But, you know, I got home very late. There was no time for me to go to Parliament and go to my pigeonhole and run through a report, which is, you know, a couple of hundred pages long. Likewise, this morning we have these notes. We had a very high-level phrase used, look at it. But I don't think, and it's not a criticism of the department, I mean, it's not their job, I don't think, to ensure that we get these things on time. I think that's part of the scheduling. But I don't think we can do justice to the fact that they have taken time out to come and speak to us and give us the benefits of their expertise if we don't even have time to look at the documents before the meeting. So can I just ask, it is in the form of a request with respect, that when we get the department here and SA Tourism today, as it is today, can we at least get the reports a couple of days before so we have time to read through it, formulate good questions, and then have a more productive and constructive interaction? We just can't do this, having a 200-page report, which I literally got 10 minutes before this meeting. So that's my plea. Then on a more substantive question, I got this impression, the same thing as the two previous honourable members have articulated. On our trip last week, one of the things we saw, for example, was that there are no tourism offices, not even a kiosk, in any of the ports of entry. We seem to be missing out then, and that's a lingering concern I do have, that we know that this department and this particular organization, SA Tourism, is one of the better run and one of the more effective ones. But I still get the impression that there is things that we need to know that we aren't actually aware of. It's one thing to get an unqualified audit report. But an audit report, and I say this with the background of someone with a qualification in accounting, is what it is. It's simply a reflection on whether the money that's been spent as presented in the financials constitutes a fair reflection of what actually happened. It's not supposed to be anything else than that. If they say, you know, they spent 658 million rand, then the report says it's true or it's not true. And if it's not true, then it's qualified, or if worse, then it's a disclaimer. What I would like to see is something more, a more useful document and a more constructed document. For example, like a performance audit. This is a financial audit. I don't know, and I still don't know, whether we are spending an optimal amount in financing SA Tourism. There's nothing that really tells me in this presentation, and I haven't had a chance to go through in detail, we've gone through it very fast, whether that in fact is the case. When we were in the Free State, for example, Chairperson, you remember, I think we were in Caledon's Put, in that particular place, or Fariesburg, somewhere around there, it was bewildering the place we went. One of the tourism persons, the only tourism person that was able to address us at length in our week's overseas visit, told us that the entire budget for marketing the Free State was 6 million rand. I mean, that clearly isn't enough. I mean, all of us sort of had a collective gasp of amazement that he had to do so much with so little. And, I mean, when I scanned through this document just before we started, part D, I thought, okay, this is what I want to see. And it's actually 3 pages. And it really doesn't tell me anything, quite frankly. And I'm not being deliberately antagonistic. It is a plea for further assistance from SA Tourism. So, for example, we've got a slide which there's value spend ratio analysis across countries. There's a figure of 55.7 million rand above a blank, or 55.7%, I don't know what it is, or rands or whatever currencies per one unit spent. But, I mean, is that the most useful ratio we could be given? For example, if we only spent 1 million rand promoting tourism in our country, we could have a figure that value gain for money spent that's almost infinite. I mean, that clearly is a ridiculous example, but we're spending whatever it is, a percentage of the 700 million odd rand that we give to SA Tourism. What is it, about 300-400 million rand on marketing, somewhere around there? 500 million rand on marketing. Now, that might produce a bar chart on this one particular one confirming our own country's performance through its marketing arm. But is a rand return per rand spent the most useful statistic we could get? Because, quite frankly, the less you spend, the higher that statistic is going to be. It doesn't really tell us much. what I think we should really be doing is having an absolute statistic rather than a relative one. This is a percentage of one thing against the other. But we could probably get a lower return but a higher overall benefit to the economy by spending more. And I just don't see that. The last one, cost per person reach across countries, I'm still struggling to understand what that actually means. Some of these figures don't make sense to me. India, 0.29, 0.71. I take it off INRs, Indian rupees, might be, might not be, I don't know. But why can't we see from SA Tourism some kind of objective, factual, interrogative analysis which says, this is what we're spending. However, if we spend X as opposed to the Y we are spending, this is the additional income and cost benefit we can get for the economy as a whole. I think we need a holistic framework that actually tells us what the optimum amount of taxpayers' revenue we should be investing in the sector of the economy is. I've never got the sense from any of the reports from the time this term of Parliament started to indicate to me we're spending the right amount. We tried to interrogate the minister a couple of weeks ago. His department seems to be of the view that they're not spending enough. But we don't know what the enough is. And I'm sure if we let SA Tourism speak their mind, they might have a figure that says, yes, we are 300, 400, a billion rand short, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. But I think we need that. And to have a report that says value gain per rand spent or per currency spent, it really is a meaningless statistic because it actually only talks about a ratio, and what we actually need is an absolute thing, because we would actually spend 99 cents if we could get 1 rand extra benefit. We would, because that's still 1 cent benefit to the economy. Whether we want to measure that by income or by tax return or VAT or whatever. So I think we need a different set of statistics, and I would like really to interrogate the department and SA Tourism very closely as to what the optimal levels of spending are. I mean, surely we're capable of doing a benchmark analysis against other countries, seeing how they do, perhaps similar countries, seeing what the upside or the upper level potential is, then we can see where we are as a nation and whether in fact we are in fact reaching our potential. None of the stuff that we received today or in the past with respect, and I do say this because I've said I think this is one of the better run departments, and I certainly am an admirer of SA Tourism, but I still don't think we have enough information. There was some talk at the last meeting of a study that was being prepared. I would like to know how far that study has progressed. So I think we need those tools to assist them in getting what they need, if in fact it is the case that they aren't getting enough.
Thank you. Just before the department responds, let me say that according to the secretary, she says that the annual reports were circulated on Friday. Okay. In fact, the explanation that the secretary has is that when she went there, they said that these reports were circulated a long time ago.
Mr. Mabuse. Chair, the annual report was tabled to Parliament in August. This, to all members of Parliament, this was tabled in August.
Yeah, but let me say this. Let us. I think we are all learning, but. The issue really is, when a report is tabled, it is tabled in the ATC, and to make members aware that the report is there in Parliament. And it is then the responsibility of the member to get the reports that are relevant to them or to us. What happens then, the committee sections for the relevant listing reports, it should circulate them there and then when it is tabled at the ATC for the committee. And then according to them, then it was tabled. Because of PEVs, a number of dogs, in fact, we are flooded with information, we are flooded with reports. Sometimes it is easy then to lose sight of the fact that you received a report. So, but let us also perhaps look at how then, given that we had an exhausting listening tour last week, how then best we can respond to what is before us. And I had requested the secretary to give me a report on Thursday. That is the executive secretary. She gave me even before we went to the tour. And then I read the report. So I think our secretaries, I know that perhaps in some instances the quality of secretariat we are having is not up to scratch. That is perhaps the reason. But let us do with perhaps what we know are the objectives and what we know what the department ought to deliver. And that is in the ENE, that is the tourism growth strategy which we received months ago, and which were supposed then to inform our oversight. That's why before we started, I made a recap of those documents and their targets and what is expected of us. So perhaps if we look at it that way, I don't think it is going to be to be difficult. And then having said that, there are issues that I flagged, namely the human resource issues in page 114-115, to expand on those, and two TEXA, TE, that is the Tourism Empowerment Council of South Africa, to give us a comparison of targets and achievements by expanding what is in page 122. If you look in page 122 of this report, what has been done, and but the actual achievements are not reflected. And then the duty of me sitting here doing oversight is to see what has been done with the resources that has been handed over to the entity, and what were the targets, whether they were achieved, and then if not, why? If so, what is the relevant information? So perhaps if you could additionally respond to that. Over to you, accounting officer. Thank you. The questions were around rural and disadvantaged communities, the issue of reaching, talking about Africa, the region, and India and China, rather than Eastern Europe. But I think you said that we prioritize Angola, Botswana, Nigeria, and Kenya now. And the issue of ports of entry, I think that was obvious. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chair. What we'll do is we'll go through all the questions and I'll ask my colleagues to assist me in particular areas. Chair, you raised the issue about distribution in terms of around the provinces. If you look at the breakdown of distribution, if you take our land arrivals into South Africa, those people generally visit one province. They go in and they go out. If you take overall in terms of the air arrivals, it's about 1.8 provinces that are visited. If you take first-time air arrivals, you get over two provinces. You get up to about 2.5 provinces that are visited. Part of South African tourism strategy is about focusing on those first-time arrivals, because those are people who come and they do more provinces because they want to do the tour of the country. We've always believed, until we did the measurements and the research on it, we thought that people would come to South Africa and then want to go to more provinces. It's actually the opposite. They come and they do all the provinces first, and then they come back to the bits that they want to do in more detail. So there's certain areas in the country that get more repeats than others. How we are trying to work on it, and this is what is done largely in the marketing department, is in our work with tour operators, the overseas tour operators, and the agreements, the joint marketing agreements we do with them, is we try and put new things on the itinerary. So we try and help push people out and make sure that the less visited provinces get more visitors. In terms of seasonality, we're fairly much on target. I've explained where we're behind on arrivals, the fact that we are still in the increasing, which many destinations across the world are not. They are in heavy decline. But we are not at where we were hoping. The financial crisis has hit us much harder and much later than a lot of other destinations. We're feeling the impact of it now. In terms of spend, we're exceeding targets. So if you look in terms of where we are around those issues. In terms of the employment, are you thinking about the employment equity figures, Chair? On page 114. Was the issue you were raising there in employment equity?
Yes.
Perhaps in a way it's...
Yeah, in fact it's a table, but now I just wanted you to expand on what is in the
In terms of how our organization is structured, as I said, we have 10 offices overseas. Our country managers overseas are South Africans, but we generally recruit the staff inside that country because it's a lot cheaper than to send South Africans across. So in a sense, you will see quite a large proportion, particularly of white women and white men, and that's where it comes through in the overseas offices in particular, which... You can see that particularly in the 40 white female figure, because those are particularly in our European offices. Because the people we recruit is we have to recruit people who can speak Italian, German, French, Dutch, those kind of languages, in terms of being able to perform. There were two questions that were asked around TEXA. One was about the targets and achievements. And the other one was the question about why the equity deals are there.
What they are?
No, that's the business meeting for the...
No, we'll come back to this. This is a text of questions. Which I think maybe Judith should answer.
Thanks, Didi. On the equity deals that were put up on the screen, these are the BEE deals that have been done on ownership, majority of whom are based on the broad-based scorecards that have been gazetted. So where previously we were looking at ownership based on narrow-based BEE, which is just plain ownership deals, these are the deals that have been done using the guidelines as put in the Code of Good Practice framework. And the values thereof, indicating now the shift in ownership of the industry towards being more inclusive. So that is what we are trying to share with you, to show that there is movement in that area, be it it's, we're still looking at ownership, but it's ownership based on the Code of Good Practice.
So, who owns these companies? It's got nothing to do with South African tourism, other than it's just showing that these are companies that are operating in tourism.
Let us call on the chair.
sorry, Chair. My apologies. So these are South African tourism companies operating in the tourism industry who have good BEE ratings, as it were. It's got nothing to do with any money that the tourism, that if their tourism percentage or the department.
Okay. And then there was a question requesting that we expand on our report in terms of the targets that we were working towards. In terms of the areas that we were focusing on in reporting, we were looking at the institutionalization of the institution, alignment of the codes, as well as developing tools to facilitate compliance by private sector, as well as creating an enabling environment that will make it conducive for both public and private sector to report on their compliance. Now, when we're looking at the institutionalization of TEXA, TEXA used to function as a secretariat within the department, and then there was a move from the department to go under SA Tourism, and in that process, certain mechanisms had to be put in place to allow it to function as an institution. And that's where the Advisory Council played a role in developing the institution in its current form. Then we had to align our codes. Previously, when the charter originally was developed, it was developed based on the draft Code of Good Practice. And once the draft was gazetted by the DTI, all sector charters had to align their codes to match the weightings as well as the targets that were set by the DTI. So we went through another consultative process in order for us to align the sector charter codes to the Code of Good Practice that had been launched by the DTI. That process in itself happened over a period of 6 months, to a point where in September of 2007, we were in a position to submit the aligned codes, which were only then gazetted for comment during 2008. All this was the process we had to undergo to bring about the legal status of the tourism sector charter, because up to the point where we achieved the gazetting, our sector charter was merely there for information only. We had no means of implementing it. But with the gazetting process, it allows us to now go ahead and use it as a benchmark in measuring compliance by the private sector. We also, as part of our targets, had to develop tools to respond to some of the gaps that were identified in allowing private sector to become compliant. And TEXA's role was to facilitate the development of these tools, which we have developed. And in the report, we do talk about the various tools that had been developed, being your self-assessment, the Black Talent SME database, and the CSI. Each of these respond to the elements which private sector had said they had challenges with. And so as a facilitator of transformation, we had to develop tools to assist private sector to start being able to implement those elements of the scorecard. Then the major thing being the reporting. Part of our role is to monitor transformation, and we had to put in place mechanisms that will allow both public and private sector to report on the compliance level. Unfortunately, one of the key things that would allow us to start with the reporting was the gazetting of the sector charter under Section 9, giving it the same status as the Code of Good Practice. This only happened in May this year, which then will allow us in this transition period to put in place those programs that had been designed for the reporting phase, which will only then begin next year. What happens in the first year is that it's a period where private sector is given an opportunity to adjust their reporting. We've had, especially the large enterprises who have done their compliance based on the generic Code of Good Practice. Now, with the legal status that the tourism sector charter has, they will now need, once those verification certificates expire in a year's time, they will then need to be verified based on their sector charter code. And so we've allowed a year of transition, making the first year of reporting 2010.
Thanks, Bela. There were two questions around the CEO, which I'll ask the chair to answer.
Thank you, Chairman. Maybe let me start with the last question that deals with the succession. Yes, Chair, it is true. We do believe we do have a well-defined succession program in South African tourism. However, the past chief executive resigned 36 months since we have renewed his contract. So his resignation, Chair, was unexpected. So no amount of succession would have prepared us for that, as we were expecting him to see his contract for the next 2 years, 3 years after it was signed. He did resign early this year, that was around February, March. And in the nature of the processes that we are subjected to, we felt that we could appoint an acting chief executive whilst at the same time advertising the position as is expected of us in terms of our governance. And once we've advertised, we did so, and we've attracted in excess of 150 applicants. We used the services of a professional agency, which did the screening for us, and we had a short list of just under 15 names, and about 8 weeks or so ago, we finally interviewed 6 candidates, and as is the process, we have, as we speak, submitted to the responsible minister the shortlist and our recommendation, and we believe that process is at a stage where the minister has to go through a particular cabinet cluster, whereafter it would go to cabinet. As you would appreciate, only then can we go back and make the offer to the candidate. So I do want to say there is just no way in which we could shortcut this process, given the need for due process to be followed. And secondly, I also want to assure the members that nothing is falling in between cracks. South African tourism is working. We have conducted and performed all our programs, all our projects. And indeed, I have been made to believe there was a concern from members, amongst other things, relative to 2010 programs. The 2010 programs predate this particular financial year. Plans we've been working on, Chairman, for some time, and none of them are in any way threatened by the departure of the captain who's left a team that has been very effective, and we will be hopefully by the end of the next month we would hear from cabinet, whereafter we will be making the necessary announcement, and I do hope whoever the chief executive is would have to hit the ground running. I don't think the chief executive, by the time, if it's an outside candidate, by the time he or she understands the workings of South African tourism, we would have had the World Cup and it would have gone. So I do not think there is anything that members ought to be concerned about. And that we emphasize that our succession plan is in place, but this resignation has been unexpected, and it we had to follow due process in recruiting and filling the position. The second question, Chair, I think the Chair referred to it. It relates, I would imagine, it relates to the remunerations of the Chief Executive as provided here. Yes, Chair. Chair, the Chair would not in his possession have this, but the number is R1 million more than what it was in the previous year. And the breakdown of that is... The chief executive had scored very, very high on his bonus, which was closed on 4.5 out of 5 of his various KPIs, which accounts for about 300,000 of that million. And when he resigned, we as the board felt that there was no need to have a person who's long made his decision to leave to keep him in the office for another 2 months. We just felt that if he has decided to move on, we should let him go, and we paid him the 2 months salary as part of that resignation. So the gross part of that accounts for another 400,000, and the other 300,000 we do talk to it in the note at the bottom of that page, Chair, which was an acting allowance. I would, can only ascribe it to that, an acting allowance that was paid by the IMC to our chief executive. Chair, maybe there is need for me to articulate the South African tourism view on this matter. When the presidency, the minister in the presidency, and our minister agreed that there is need for review of the IMC, it was after the IMC's own CEO had left. We seconded our CEO to lead the team at the IMC and lead that review process of which way the IMC would go. Mukesi must have spent about 2 days a week at the IMC, as he did, for the duration of his secondment period. During that time, Chair, I certainly have been of the view that the IMC, if it felt it ought to reward anything, it had to reward South African tourism. By the time I got to know of this, IMC had already paid Mr. Msola directly. And we did point out to them that, in our view, Mugeti did not take leave of absence from the organization. He was a full-time employee of South African Tourism, seconded to IMC on full pay. And they had felt that their own governance decided that they should treat that emolument otherwise. So this 1 million extra is made, Chair, once more of the 300,000 bonus acting allowance that he got from the IMC, 400,000, which was the resignation and termination cost by the gross of the 2 months as he left, and the 300,000 was relating to his bonuses.
Is that in line with the regulations of employment?
Chair, from our side, everything that we paid him was in line with the regulation of his employment with us.
Stipulated, I mean, even before somebody is paid, there are rules that are there. Is it according to those rules, or is it according to a decision out of those rules?
Chair, as far as we are concerned, all these payments that we made were in terms of the rules and the regulation governing our employment and our policies.
Thank you.
If I may just have a follow-up, specifically about the delay in appointing a new CEO, I understand that you have to go through all your processes. But his resignation was made public in February. The advertisement to replace him, you started recruiting, I think, at the beginning of September. Now, why? I don't understand why there was a need to wait, 4 or 5 months before advertising for a successor. When his resignation was public, why the delay?
Chair, it is not true. By September, we were already interviewing candidates. Not true that we advertised in September. We advertised in March. That is correct. We advertised in March. That is fact.
Thanks.
Chair, if I can carry on with the answers. With the permission of the Chair, what I would like to do is to answer the ones that are quite simple answers and then perhaps come back to, I think, the very substantive issues that the meeting raised about rural development, about domestic tourism and marketing in Africa. Because I think some of these, and I think there's some institutional questions that were asked, that I think maybe we should take all those questions together, because I think they're related. So if the permission of the Chair, I'll go through the ones that have got shorter answers in terms of going through. Meetings Africa. The decision to acquire Meetings Africa. Meetings Africa is a business tourism exhibition. It was owned by Tebe. We had a lot of debate for years inside South African tourism about whether we would extend Indaba, which is a leisure travel show, to try and put business tourism at the same time. After this lengthy debate, there were two issues that went against it. One is that the people who buy and sell business tourism are not the same people who buy and sell leisure tourism. And the other problem is that there's no space at Indaba. So what we thought we should do in terms of our increased emphasis on business tourism, that we should start developing our own platform for it. And we thought that Johannesburg was a good place to start as a business center in South Africa. And so that's why we purchased it from Tebe. Part of the deal of buying it was that Tebe carried on as the exhibition provider, so that we made sure that all the intellectual property went across to us. But in terms of running it, we established a partnership with the Sandton Convention Center and Gauteng Tourism, so that we do it in partnership with them. We do Indaba in partnership with Durban Africa and with the ICC and with the KwaZulu-Natal Tourism. So you have a relationship with where the show is based. We see great future in Meetings Africa. You know, we think that it's going to be a very, very valuable platform in the future in terms of developing it. So I hope that answers that question. In terms of the Honourable Njobi's questions, I think we'll come back to them when we discuss a lot of the issues around Africa, except there was one question about the grading, if Tembi can answer that.
Thanks, Dee. Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mangabe, if you look at slide number, the very first slide, anyway, talking about the statistics, the growth and decline, yeah? It's headed growth and decline by month per province. And that means here we're reflecting whether between this month and last month, was there a growth or was there a decline? For example, if you look at the grand total right at the bottom, we actually reflect an increase. I don't have the slide number, but the slide you were referring to. Yeah, it's actually on the screen. Yes, thank you. So if you look at the first two... It's on the screen, sir.
That's fine. I can't remember the screen.
Slide number 78. Okay, so if you look at the growth of establishments from August to September, we moved from 7,318 to 7,492. So in actual fact, for this 2 months, we are reflecting... It is on the screen,
that's the one.
So Manjula, basically we just compared at the slight growth or decline to show whether we're increasing or declining. But for the purposes of this exercise, it is a definite increase month on month in terms of between September and August. And we're growing by an average of 2.3% in the number of establishments. And by rooms, just under 1% in terms of the number of rooms across the country.
Okay. Are you through?
I'm happy to take further questions, sir.
Thank you. Sorry, there's just one question which I now can't find in my papers. There was a slide somewhere in the annual report about the number of renewals of grading establishments. And I gathered that, obviously this was to the end of this financial year, March, whatever it is, that there was a decline of people who didn't renew of about 500. Is that correct? So now that I need it, I can't find it. And I think it was reflected that it did say somewhere there about... I couldn't find it. I'm terribly sorry.
The various numbers through the year of people who cancel their grading because of various reasons, either they go out of business or the business gets sold.
Yeah, but
those numbers fluctuate month on month, and we report on them quarterly.
Yeah, because it said somewhere here about them, they hadn't renewed, and it was thought that it was because of financial things. It was one of the tables that you did somewhere that I can't find. Here it is. Page 44 of the annual report. The targets, overall annual target of 5,667 renewals was not achieved because cancelled or tested late renewals due to the economic recession. So what I'm saying is that you're saying now that we're growing. Have these ones that haven't renewed now suddenly come back on board? Or are there a whole lot of new establishments opening up?
Well, firstly, ma'am, I just want to point out that in terms of new establishments, mm-hmm. we exceeded the target. So in answer to your question, perhaps then it is new establishments that come on board. And as I said, that figure does fluctuate on a monthly basis. So that was a snapshot at that time. So there's lots of properties that come in and out of the system for various reasons. Some people want to rather cancel because they're busy with an upgrade and they want to go up to a higher star grading status, but we can't then allow them to be graded while, you know, their visitors will be walking through that. In the meantime, then they must cancel. So those figures really do fluctuate, but overall, we are reflecting around a 3% increase in terms of the total number of properties month on month.
Thank you, Chair. To get on to the question about return on investment and value of tourism, the work that we showed you here is work that we've done in terms of understanding what the cost of acquisition of a tourist is. Because the reason why we do it is that we want to find what is the most cost-effective way of getting to a tourist and getting them to come to South Africa. And it's a marketing measure. I think what the Honourable Member is more interested in is understanding the value of tourism, and which I think is a very different measure than the cost of acquisition in marketing. I think we've done quite a bit of work on this, which we would be happy to share. Some of it's a bit dated, but we've done it in the past for our funding applications to the Treasury to make the argument around what the value of tourism is to the economy, and if we grew it about X percent of arrivals, what would the downstream effects be in the economy. That work we have done in the past. But if you look at it, in 2008, the total contribution to the South African economy inside South Africa, the spend of tourists inside South Africa, was over 100 billion. Our budget is 821 million. So there's a very, very high return on that money in terms of the economy. One could do a lot of modelling in terms of if we grew by X% and what the impact would be. I did send through the chair the copy of the report that you requested from the last meeting. I don't know if it's been circulated. I sent a letter after the last meeting thanking the chair for the meeting. I don't know if it did not get to you. Oh, I have to send it again. But I did send a letter with a copy of that report, which I'll send it again for circulation. If you want us to take a flyer at it, the argument that we have made historically to Treasury is we would like to get the same marketing budget as our competitors. At the moment, we're way behind Australia. Australia's now got a budget of the equivalent in rands of about $1.5 billion. And the problem about it is while we have to spend a lot more carefully and a lot more cleverly, they can outspend us in most of the markets. And that's a challenge for us. Because I think, you know, we believe very strongly that tourism can do a lot more in this country, which I think gets back to a lot of the underlying questions that were asked today. You know, the members are aware that tourism functions on all three levels of government, and part of the challenges of that is the lack of integration around tourism promotion, tourism product development, a whole lot of issues, and it is a big challenge which particularly around mounting events such as big as 2010 is a major challenge for us, but it is something that we are all committed in terms of working together to make sure that we can develop. I'll ask Rasheen to speak in some more detail about some of the work that we're doing in the different areas. But I think one question I would like to respond to is we are very committed in terms of developing our marketing in Africa. The two things that are very difficult for us. First is the countries that require visas and how difficult it is to get visas in some of these countries, particularly Nigeria. It's a big challenge for us. And the other thing, which is an issue that we do have discussions with SAA on, is the cost of flying in Africa is very high. And we would really, only last week we had a meeting with them and made the plea again of trying to get a different model of operating in Africa, that they can charge what they like for the business class seats. We don't mind whatever they charge for the business class seats. What we're concerned about are the price of the economy seats, because that's where we can start growing the market. And if we don't get the price down, we will only get that layer of very, very wealthy people from Africa, and we won't be able to build that real big market that we want. And that it's a big challenge for us, because most of the people who travel in Africa travel north, and we've got to get them to turn around and travel south. And so we've got to make it very attractive for them to come to change direction. But I'll ask Rasheen to deal with some of the issues about rural development and some of the issues around domestic, and particularly around welcome and the border post and the restrictions on the border post.
First, let us go on up until 5:02, and then you go for your meeting with the minister at 11:00, and then we proceed after at 3:00. Did you need a clarification?
I would, but I'm prepared to wait until 3:30. As long as I get my follow-up, please.
No, then definitely you'll have your follow-up.
Sorry, ma'am.
Maybe I'm just overindulging here. I will not say please explain something on financials, but if you're going to be talking to the minister shortly, just to piggyback on what you're going to be talking about, I don't know what your agenda is all about, but I'm saying there's something here on page 152 of your whatever, of this financial annual report. There is something about government grants. If you could look at that, I don't know who's getting the grant and what is done by the grant. Is the grant from government to SA Tourism, or is SA Tourism is supposed to give grants to operators? I'm not sure I'm just taking it out. Maybe it's out of context because I just saw something attractive, and I thought that maybe you could have time to mill through this, and then we talk about it when next we meet.
I can answer it quickly because it is the money from government to us. We don't give any grants.
Okay.
No.
And the DTI ones, what happens to those?
We don't get grants from DTI.
There's something here in your last incentives and investments. Anyway, we are interested in giving grants to those people, however you address it. But that is one of our concerns. I just thought that maybe, as you know, I'm talking out of ignorance. Sorry, Chair, I'm overbearing.
We can answer that easily. The one area where we do get money from DTI, but we don't get it directly, is DTI funds some of the what we call the hosted buyers that come to Meetings Africa. As part of their business development initiative. But it's not as if we get the money. It's done as a cooperative government program because they are interested in building business tourism as well. So they host some of the buyers that come to Meetings Africa. But the area about which I think you're looking at the slide about incentives, those are things like Kula and which are actually inside the DCI, which we have no access to, which is... a completely separate department and issue.
Okay, let us break, and then there could be members who are favorable. 10 minutes, please.
Yes.
10 minutes.
We want to actually.
Thank you.